Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. Before America was feeling the brunt of COVID-19, Italy was hit hard and fast by the virus. As of this morning, more than 32,000 deaths are attributed to COVID-19 in Italy. Tonight, you can see Frontline go inside a hospital battling the coronavirus in northern Italy as doctors are forced to make life and death decisions. It's called Inside Italy's COVID War. It's an intimate and exclusive story that follows one beleaguered ER doctor, her staff, and the patients suffering from COVID-19 from the darkest days of that surge to just the earliest signs of hope. Frontline premieres Inside Italy's COVID War at 9 Central, 8 Mountain here on SDPB TV. It's also available to stream at 6 Central, 5 Mountain at pbs.org/frontline and the PBS video app. And you can also stream it on YouTube in tandem with the PBS broadcast. Inside Italy's COVID War is produced and directed by Sasha Joella Keeley, who joins us right now by phone from the UK. Sasha, welcome to In the Moment. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I was able to watch this film yesterday, and I have to say it was really an incredible and brutal piece of filmmaking. And my first question that I want to ask you is, how did you manage to get that level of access just right there directly in the ER with those doctors?
Well, when I first got in touch with Dr. Francesca, who's the main doctor I follow throughout the film, she immediately opened her doors to me. But obviously, I needed to get access to the hospital. And so I had to go through kind of the bureaucratic process of the press office, and then they need to get permission from the regional health office as well. And initially, when I was heading out there, they had told me, you can come, but we can only give you 2 days. So in my mind, you know, I thought, okay, well, it's still worth going because it's the epicenter and there's this amazing doctor who's opened her life to me. And even if I can only go in for 2 days, I'll see something will come out of it. And when I was there, partly I think, Francesca, you know, she has a lot of respect in the hospital. So I was very welcomed, and both her and then the press officer of the hospital kind of understood that I wanted to do something that went beyond what had been reported on so far, beyond what the news media was doing in terms of, you know, your 2-minute pieces going in for an hour and trying to give a snapshot of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so 2 days turned into 3 days, and then they kind of said to me, make it your home, it's open. And I was just at that point really had incredible amount of access to the entire hospital. I was filming with Francesca in the ER, but I filmed a lot in the ICU and in different wards for entire 12-hour shifts with no hindrance at all. So it was partly, you know, the relationship I built, but also having to deal with people who actually understood the potential benefit and the fact that they were just desperate to tell their story and desperate to show the world what they were going through and have it documented. They don't want to forget, and they don't want the world to forget. And obviously the world is experiencing a form of it themselves now as well.
Right. And I think that level of relationship and that desire to tell this story really comes through in this piece. You see doctors describing colleagues as almost walking ghosts, just struggling with not seeing their patients get better most of the time. Talk a little bit about, I suppose, how do you balance this kind of tricky situation of trying to remain sort of a fly on the wall and not get too involved personally, but also this is such a human tragedy that's unfolding before you, people in really unprecedented levels of stress and anguish. How do you balance that as a filmmaker and an interviewer?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You can't really achieve complete objectivity and anonymity in doing such kinds of work. I, you know, for me, this was particularly personal because it was Cremona is just an hour away from where I grew up. I'm Italian. And, you know, my family, all my family is in Italy. So they were the first to experience the lockdown. And so going home and telling the story was personally really, really challenging. And inevitably, you know, I was just more protective, I guess, of Italy and what it was going through than I would be for any other place. But being a fly on the wall, you know, after the first day where kind of staff were kind of wondering who the hell I was, and then when they kept seeing me come back and do entire night shifts with them and I wasn't leaving and I kept going, it gets to a point where they do forget you're there and you just kind of become part of the mold. And then on a kind of emotional level, you know, I think I feel like I was kind of living the trauma and the experience that the doctors and nurses were going through. And they really, even now, say, you know, you went through it with us. You're one of us. And, you know, that feels a bit extreme because I just turn on my camera and film and they're saving lives. But I you know, I felt like very much part of what was going on, you know, and completely privileged that I got to document it. But yeah, full kind of being completely detached is impossible. It's impossible because it's not only happening, you know, it's happening to people who, you know, in this case, it was my home country. Everybody, we speak the same language. We understand each other. We have a shared cultural base. And then it started happening everywhere else, you know, in the UK where I've been living for 10 years, in the United States, we're all going through it. It just feels more personal than other stories.
Right. There's a patient you follow in this film, Mattia. He's a teenager. We first joined him in the ICU, and he really gets adopted by these doctors and nurses because he's so young. Tell us a little bit about following his journey through this.
Well, when Mattia arrived and had to go into the ICU, it was a devastating moment for the hospital and for all the nurses and doctors. They had been on the front lines fighting COVID for a month at that point. And I think despite, you know, Francesca says in the film, it's an unfair battle. You know, we have very few weapons and the virus has them all. And so they were really struggling to stay afloat. And when Mattia arrived, it was as if the virus had taken another punch in the ring and they felt completely beaten. They were just like, okay, now, you know, we thought that people who ended up in the ICU were like, you know, the elderly or people with underlying health conditions. Mattia had no underlying health conditions and he was 18. So that was just emotionally devastating. And then filming it also, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, ICUs are a really difficult environment anyway from an emotional standpoint. But when you see elderly people who are ill, it almost feels like a natural part of life. When you see an 18-year-old beaten like that because of a virus, it was gut-wrenching. And I remember, like, filming the shots of him prone on his stomach, unconscious and just tearing up behind the camera because it was just like, this is so unfair.
With the number of hours that you spent filming for this, I think in just about any project, there's always something that you have to make that really difficult decision to leave on the cutting room floor. What were some of those moments for this particular project for you?
There are lots of like little moments. Despite the tragedy that the staff, the medical staff were going through, that everybody I met, you know, I landed in a hospital that felt like it'd come out of, you know, series ER or Grey's Anatomy. Like everybody was really young, attractive, really like charismatic and talented, and they're really ironic and jokey. And so despite the tragedy, there's like their little moments. I remember filming in the ICU and in the middle of their night shift, they're hungry. So they make big, large pots of spaghetti and they're all like eating spaghetti there together, like cracking jokes. And And there's like those elements, beautiful moment when a bishop who the town bishop who had fallen sick and had been inside the hospital for over 20 days and survived, went and gave Easter mass outside of the hospital, and the medical staff basically came out on the balconies and windows and prayed with him. And it was this like extraordinary scene with this bishop wearing a mask and a microphone giving mass to the doctors who had saved his life.
Wow.
And, you know, and Francesca, so many stories she has to tell. There's, you know, a beautiful moment where she's beautiful and horrific moment. She filmed a lot in the early days with her own phone. And she's narrating like what those first days were like. And it's just really, it's really strong moment. So that you're right. There are a lot of things that couldn't be in the film that I would have loved to put in.
Another special aspect of this film is you, you're able to film some of Francesca's family and her time at home, as well as some other doctors. And one of maybe my favorite scenes that kind of brought a tear to my eye is Francesca's husband saying to her, "Why couldn't you have been a house painter? I wouldn't worry so much." And she says, "Well, then we wouldn't have met." Talk to us about some of those moments, just being with these people in their homes.
Yeah, I mean, the level of kind of generosity in a way, you know, letting me into their homes at a time when there's a pandemic on their behalf, you know, they took a risk letting me into their home, and we took all the security precautions we could, but it's still a risk. And they really brought me in as part of the family. And I remember, you know, I had been there for a couple of weeks, and one evening the daughter said, who's 11 years old, was like, "You know what really upsets me about this whole situation?" And I was like, "What?" And she said, "That nobody's asked what the children think about what's going on." And I was like, "Yeah, fair enough. Nobody has asked your opinion." And that's basically when, you know, I decided to interview them, because I realized that they were harnessing so many emotions of confusion, and also just distancing from their friends at a time of their lives where they're supposed to learn to socialize, as well as the fear of having a mother who's on the front line of this thing and living the whole story through her, because she was the only one going out and leaving the house, including to do the shopping. So they, in a way, were privileged because they had so much more information, but also they weren't sheltered from what was actually going on. So they were like, you know, processing their own fears. And the husband, you know, what I realize is that, you know, this film in a way has these incredible, strong women who are the front line of this fight, including Francesca. But Francesca's moral and not moral, but like emotional strength came entirely from her husband. There was no way that she could be who she is if it hadn't been for her husband, who is, you know, her strength, essentially, and the one who, in a way, is taking care of the kids and taking care of everything so that she can succeed in what she's doing.
Frontline premieres Inside Italy's COVID War at 9 Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB TV tonight. It's also available to stream at 6 Central, 5 Mountain at pbs.org/frontline and the PBS video app. Our guest has been the film's producer and director, Sasha Joelle Achille. Thank you, Sasha, so much for this film and your hard work and for taking the time to talk to us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Take care.